Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You're listening to the Complex Sneakers Podcast. Happy New Year. As always, I am with my guy, Mr. Matt Welty.
We made it through it all.
We made it. And of course, my man, his hair is looking as flourishing as ever. Started the year just how he ended last year. Mr. Brendan Dunn.
We're still here.
We are, right?
Yeah. We're still here. We made it through, like Welty said.
Look at a calming presence. Set the tone for 2021. Set the tone for 2021. You know, the greeting, sometimes you're shadow boxing. Sometimes you have the hands. But I think just now, a calming presence. Peace. Maybe this is what we need in peaceful. 2021, right?
That's what I need.
Uh-oh. No, here comes the chaos. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
The chaos agent, yeah. Seconds into 2021 and he get. Go ahead.
I'm very curious about when Brendan Dunn is shadow boxing, who he envisions himself fighting.
Ooh, I tell you, listen, I can name some names who maybe, you know?
Oh, my God. Are we naming names on this podcast?
No, that's how we're starting the new year off. Listen, how's everyone doing?
I feel okay.
I'm not going to lie. I fell asleep 5 minutes before taping this, but I have a coffee. I have my Aquapana, not sponsored, but please sponsor. You know, we're here for another year.
Yeah, we got slots.
Yeah, we have tons.
Lots of inventory.
Slack, you know, we mention Slack on the podcast all the time. Maybe they come as a sponsor. Maybe we get the Aquapana sponsorship.
I mean, Slack did do a sneaker collaboration this year.
I know.
Don't forget. So maybe
we can help them out a little bit. They could use
some synergy there.
We're happy to say how much we love the next Slack collab if they need a little bit of juice.
Get them a little bit more authenticity in the sneaker space.
Yeah.
You know, you guys aren't shooting full-size run. How's it feel to have a break? You miss it?
No, we just got into the break, so I'm happy. But okay. I'm still like in frantic, full-on panic package mode as I usually am, worrying about what's coming, what's going. I just trudged through the snow and ice to the post office with a giant 10 by 20 by 30 box that's going to Japan, and I'm super stressed out about it getting there. You know, the post office is never a good time, and I know those people are overworked and underpaid, but I had to slide this giant package in the window, and it wasn't a great time. But
especially during the holiday season, it's tough, man.
And speaking of full size run, it's funny because I know I got a lot of comments and a lot of messages from J Balvin saying to me,
from him directly.
No, J Balvin saying to me, "You look like a grandpa," right?
Oh, I thought he was texting you or something.
But the funny part was after, and I wasn't mad about it, but it's just annoying when all your DMs are like, "Hey, grandpa, you look old," and like all this sort of stuff. But I do wake up after the shoot from a message from J Balvin himself saying, "Grandpa, my G, all love, bro," and that made it all like. Not that it didn't make it worth it, but it makes you laugh and stride, you know?
Yeah.
To that point, don't you guys agree? I was thinking about this the other day. Don't you guys agree that you could tell what people are going to talk about that moment in the episode before it happened? Like, I know already.
For sure.
You know what people are going to talk about. And, well, you know what people are going to talk about for the Bryson Tiller episode, right? What do you think it is? Think.
The DeLorean?
No.
Oh, the shoes. Him giving you the shoes?
No, something about me and him.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Joe. I don't know. I thought I was thinking the Air Force Ones too.
What is it?
That we are essentially wearing the same thing.
I didn't catch on that.
So I planted that seed. I am dreading it. I could tell right away that people are going to point that out. But I remember you guys saying like, oh, he called Welty a grandpa. And of course, that's what the fans latched onto. But we're in this space where we could identify those moments. Oh, people are going to talk about this. Sometimes it's such like a viral moment, and sometimes it's like we know our YouTube commenters and we know our audience, and this is what they're going to. It's those little idiosyncrasies that they're going to talk about. So
I'm just happy to look back, and this year obviously was trying and challenging for all of us for a multitude of different reasons, which I think are probably individual to mm-hmm. all of us on mm-hmm. on that behalf. But to struggle through getting through this year and not feeling like, you know, you're doing enough or completing enough just because of the way the year is going. So like the way you, totally. you view the outcomes of stuff, it isn't the same sort of momentum that you're used to. But to finally be done with it and look yeah. back, and it's like, wow, look how much we actually ended up getting done in 2020. Yeah. I feel like that's the most rewarding element of it all.
It's crazy. You know, we had the town hall a couple of weeks ago, and to see that sizzle at the end, I got a little emotional. You forget.
You shed a tear, Joe?
Listen, one tear almost.
One thug tear?
Yeah, almost was shed. But you think of like – and I feel like 2020, we were graded on a curve where everything that we produced meant like three times more because it was so challenging. You know, yeah. It was challenging for everyone. But we got full seasons of our shows done. And
multiple seasons.
Yeah, multiple. I think you guys did multiple seasons. I only did one since March, but.
But you also did the sneaker stories and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Man. Yeah, it just like if we were busy. We're going to look back and hopefully, I think we will appreciate hopefully easier times ahead for everyone. And it was an interesting year. It was a very, very challenging year, but it was a rewarding year. And I think when we're in end of the year sizzle time, it kind of rehashes exactly how tough it was, but also how rewarding the year was. So
just how far we've come.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy because we were talking about it. For those who don't know who are listening, you know, we have our year-end complex town hall where Rich, the CEO, comes up and gives his whole hoo-ha, starts banging on his chest, like, threatens to yep. rip it like Hulk Hogan or something.
He got those Samba dunks too. They arrived.
Yeah. And, sorted them out, Joe? And then last year we were reminiscing on it because we ended up having the complex holiday party at One Oak, which was insane.
Mayhem.
Like Trinidad. Crazy. Trinidad was there like in cowboy boots, like yes. standing on the couch. It was like a real Rick James moment.
Yeah, fine.
But we're looking back because I had shared a picture of like me and Brendan from the holiday party, and we're like, how long ago does that feel? And we go from starting the podcast off, you know, towards the end of 2019, 2020. And remember the few instances we were actually in studio shooting with people like Mike Packer, Clark Kent, you know, but everything that we've actually completed with the podcast since then, it just feels like really rewarding.
Speaking about holiday parties, you know, I have an iconic, I'm not going to say classic, an iconic gif of you from two holiday parties or three at this point where you're on stage.
I know the wealthy one you're talking about.
You're on stage, Guru's DJing. I don't use it because it's a gift that maybe you would.
Well, do you know the gift, right?
Oh my God. He had a look on his face
for the people who can't see us. There was a look on his face like he was kind of confused, but now he knows.
Listen, these guys are my brothers. They could we could pretty much say whatever it is. I don't use that gift because I still think the line would be crossed if I send that to a large group, but I won't. But it's iconic. And
oh, if only y'all knew what you knew.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's amazing.
My God.
Yeah,
I
remember that holiday party. That holiday party was when you guys were really ramping up, and it's like, okay, this thing is becoming a thing.
My own coworkers asking me for autographs.
I remember that year. That was like, okay, this full size run thing is like it's three years ago at this point? Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's going to be the fourth year.
It's a cultural movement.
Yeah, we knew that it was happening.
And that holiday party, I think, was ran by the Duce Palooza guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can imagine it got a little crazy.
I remember Amaya dancing to Unforgettable. That was that was a good one. Hopefully, 2021 we have a holiday party in person. So.
Yeah, physically being around the people we know and love.
One correction I do have from a couple podcasts ago. I said the Archons were dead stock. They're not dead stock, but still a good price, guys. What do you think?
How are they not dead stock? How are they not dead
stock? They're not.
You're not going to lick the soul?
No, they're not. They're not dead stock.
But they did come in.
They came in and still a good price, and I'm happy because...
It's so weird that someone unlaced them like that, but like to make them look like they're dead stock.
No, isn't it? Well, I know.
I think they're dead stock.
They're not, dude.
The person you bought it from told you they're not?
Wealthy look.
Oh.
Some gum on the outsole.
But
you're not going to bring those out in this season, are you, Joe? There's still a lot of snow on the ground. It's boot weather.
If you know the person and they may have worn them once or twice, it's cool to wear, right?
I was literally about to ask you that before this because I saw a shoe for sale for something that you had recently purchased for a cheaper price, but it was a worn pair. And I was like, how does Joe feel about worn sneakers?
Once or twice, I think
I don't know if I've ever bought a pair of worn sneakers. I don't know.
It'd have to be one that I'm looking to really, you know, like an archival one.
You know what the weird part about it is I feel like if I was going online, I don't think I'd want to buy a pair of used sneakers, you know, if it was the option. But I feel like if I was in some sort of...
You'll pay the extra $250?
No, if I was in some sort of shop and, you know, I just happened to walk into some sort of Salvation Army or some sort of thrift shop or some secondhand store and I found like a crazy pair of sneakers that were like worn but old, I wouldn't think twice about buying them in that scenario.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And especially different expectations.
Like, I'll wear those once or twice, but it's more about having them in the collection, you know?
Yeah. But like I said, it's too snowy outside right now. It's boot weather. No. Are you guys big boot wearers?
Not at all. Well, not at all.
I have a pair of Frockhop boots from the good friends Brian and Rack at Lapstone and Hammer. A few years ago.
I had gone to...
I actually have a really funny story about that party. So they put us So we go to Lapstone and Hammer on a Friday night, and Brendan remembers that evening well because there were some Nike designers at the complex office that night who were saying wild things.
Worse? We're not going to even come close to saying who those Nike people were.
No, but they just wanted to have a private show. What's it called? Like look-see sort of meeting, right? They had a bag of shoes and kind of
the word look-see connected to Nike anymore, but yeah.
No, but yeah, just show us some upcoming product, kind of have an informal meeting. You know, next thing you know, like everyone starts having a few drinks and stories get told about things at Nike campus and people's personal lives as Nike designers, and you're like, oh my God, my fucking...
You said too much already. Okay. Get us to Philly. Get us out of here. Get us to Philly.
The tea spilling on the first of the year?
My face is melting. So ended up, we got the guys from Lapstone and Hammer, shout out. They ended up putting us up in the weekend to come out and cover I think it was the reopening of their store where they were doing like a restock on shoes, and there was a huge line for it. So they put us up in the Lowe's hotel after going to the party all night. And I had gotten there a little late because we were hanging out with the Nike designers and hearing all these crazy stories. So Rack was like, hey man, like, you know, I want you to have some few drinks. So don't get, he's like, it's okay if you take the bottle with you to your hotel room. And it was like a bottle of, Kettle One, right? Or not.
Rack's not on the Ace of Spades.
It was Tito's. Sorry, it was a bottle of Tito's, and I have it under one arm as I'm walking in, and I'm trying to get my because I have like my bag and everything, and I'm trying to get my hotel room situated, and I forgot that I had the bottle of vodka underneath one arm, and then someone like went to go hand me my key card for the room.
I check in,
and I go to reach with the same arm that I have the bottle of vodka in. And I reach out and I forgot, and the bottle of vodka falls and exploded in the middle of the hotel lobby.
That's Matt Welty when you put him up at a hotel.
Oh my God.
That's the end of the story. But
well, how come that wasn't captured on the fan favorite cult classic series Racks Life? Who remembers that? Did anyone used to watch it?
Oh yeah.
His YouTube series? He should have continued that. I used to like that Rack.
So you really splash vodka over the frock cap boots, huh?
The frock caps, those are lightweight boots. You know what I tried? I texted you guys. I tried the ACG Mountain Fly Gore-Tex. Oof, mm-hmm. They look it's a rough wear for me. I'm not gonna lie. They do not look good on my feet at all.
Not the right pants or the calves are too.
Welty
too
claims
small
you have to wear them with shorts. It's the all black ones.
It's actually a real performance shoe. It's the first trail running shoe that has a carbon plate in the midsole. So it's actually
cool shoe. Shout out
designed
to
for real, awesome, for real performance, not just an ACG shoe that you can wear when it snows out.
Yeah, I have the black invasion, the all black. The all black looks really rough on my foot, but it's only my thing.
Speaking of sneakers, we should talk about sneakers, right?
Yeah, are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so listen, it's the first of the year. We don't want to get too deep into 2021 and continue to look back at 2020, but you guys have been asking it. We've had a bunch of different lists. We've had the Complex Lamp panel.
Hold on, hold on. I got to buy a pair of sneakers live. I almost forgot. Joe, keep going.
Whoa, okay. That's what we're doing?
Dude,
it takes me back
forgot.
To the studio.
Oh, my
man.
God.
It takes He's me back to the botting. Studio when I was buying the T19s before the one of the first podcasts. What are you buying?
Just let me focus. Okay. It's literally 302 as I buy this right now. Okay. Oh, my God.
So people have been asking for it, and we're going to give it to you. We're going to give you, the listeners, our top five sneakers of the year from 2020. And
let's check out.
We'll have
out.
A little spiel. Okay. Dunn is still copping. Are you
going
to tell?
Just keep going. Keep going.
Are you
going to
tell
us,
or is it going to, it's not making
Thank
the
Thank you for your
it?
Order. Your order is Bang. Confirmed.
Wow.
We'll,
okay.
we'll talk about these sneakers later on.
Cook group came through?
No cook group. Okay. All manual.
Okay. So we are going to go around, have our own little mini round table, and give you guys our top five sneakers of the year. And I'm sure there's going to be not debates, because these are personal choices, but I think we're going to get into a lot of underrated silhouettes, overrated silhouettes, and let's kick it off right now.
I think we should clarify that, though, that this isn't, I know you said personal choices, but this isn't just us saying, you know, Chunky Dunky Dior 1, even though some of those shoes may be on the list or may not. It's not like the objective, what we personally just think is the top five. These are probably shoes that we all own
yes.
at some point in this year.
Exactly.
And I'm so happy again to be subjective about it. And we've done so much work in the past month about trying to figure out what the biggest shoes were, what the best, and taking our own personal taste out of it. This is us putting our own personal taste all
yes.
the way into it
yes.
and saying there are no rules around this thing other than the shoes we like the most this year. Joe, do you want to start us?
Yeah, and let's start it. And we encourage you guys to leave your top five in the comments. My number five, I think I mentioned it on this podcast. I love it. Right now, currently, it's 34% off on sale. It's the Nike ACG Zoom Air AO. And I wore these sneakers in the summer. When I was walking, I was home for the summer, you know, with quarantining and during the pandemic in Bayshore. And I wore these nonstop slip on, slip off.
Kind of a Pegasus type shape to them. Joe, you're a big ACG guy too.
I am a big ACG guy. I really like it. I will tell you where I got tipped off from these. If anyone is a fan of John Elliott's lookbooks and John Elliott's assets when he is like dropping sweatpants or a flannel, the Easter eggs are he pairs the clothes with some really, really good Nike models. It was funny because I always was like
before they like, is that the first place you see him sometimes?
Yeah, like no one was really paying. No one was on this shoe. And I saw it in a John Elliott lookbook. And I think I hit the Slack and I was like, guys, what shoe is this? And one of you guys or Zach identified it. But John Elliott sneaks in some like obscure Nike shoes into his assets when he's dropping clothes. And it's funny because I asked him one day, and I think I might have asked someone from Nike, like, do you
is that a tactic to try and hype the things up?
Yeah, and it's not, but probably because I'm the only one buying them. I was like, wait, is he selling a lot of Nike shoes for you guys in terms of like putting them in the lookbook? And I don't think he is, because just like this model, it's pretty obscure, but he paired it so well with the clothing. I forget exactly what fit it was, but I wore them all summer in 2020. And the good thing is, like, they do have that ACG functionality to them. So it snows, it's a light snow. You could still wear them. And again, you know, you may be expecting at number five a big hyped shoe. Now, this is $84.90.
I love that. On sale, a performance shoe, a new shoe, too. I love that we are supporting new shoes and new silhouettes.
Exactly. Right now, it's $84.97. And I can't recommend it enough. And you could wear, you know, you could wear it with shorts and just beat the hell out of them. So definitely my number five sneaker of the year. And I think the one that was probably the most obscure on my list. Who wants to go next?
I think since we're talking about new shoes, I think Brendan's number five is also a new shoe,
Ooh.
Right? Is it?
Actually, no. It's so here's my disclaimer. You guys have, seem to have your five very ranked out. I am less certain about them and not really.
He's taking the easy way out. The guy who says he loves it. No,
this is not me taking
the
easy way.
I don't want to hear
the game.
Welty always says, oh, Joe, I remember 2013. Joe LaPuma used to yell. I'll tell you one thing that I do yell about. I'll tell you one thing. Not yell. I don't yell anymore. But I will tell you one thing that I do. I think you should rank. If you were putting a list together, you should rank them.
You have five shoes. You can mentally
place them right now. I was trying to help you. Here.
Okay, go.
Trying to do was fucking help you with your transition because my number five is not the shoe you're talking about. So do you want me to rank them or do you want to fucking go back? Because your transition doesn't work for my actual number five. I was trying to fucking help you.
Hold on.
Hey, but we can.
My number five is not a new shoe. It's the This Is Never That X New Balance 2002R. Yes.
Okay, didn't he just say your shoes aren't ranked?
Were they ranked until 30 seconds ago?
No, until like I had them ranked in my head, but you were looking at a spreadsheet where you assumed that was my ranking. But put them in that spreadsheet,
am I at fault here or is it Welty?
Nobody's at fault, but Welty was trying to set me up for a transition, and I was trying to go with the transition. But
all right,
if we are in fact ranking them, but here you go, Welty. We'll get to that shoe that you're talking about, but then I will rank them. My number five is not a new shoe. Well, actually, kind of a new shoe.
Okay. Yeah.
My number five, and this is a shoe you can talk about at greater lengths than I can, Welty. This Is Never That X New Balance 2002R. To be honest, and I have the sneakers right here, and I'm happy because we talked about this beforehand. All these of our top fives are sneakers that we actually wear, we actually own.
Yes.
And shout out to former Complex intern Jay Key for sending me these.
Ooh.
And
alumni?
You know what I like about shout out to an alumni from alumni.
Yes, sir.
I love that. This is just a sneaker that I was not ready to over-intellectualize. I didn't have any detailed backstory about why I loved it or anything from the designer or the collaborator. It just fucking looks good. And it's a New Balance shoe that I wore a lot this year. We talked about how great New Balance was doing this year, but a lot of those 992s and stuff, I have them, but I just never really wore them. So when I got that This Is Never That New Balance 2002R in the mail, I just immediately put them on foot and have been wearing them a lot. Welty,
I want you
to break down a little bit of history around the 2002R because you're working like on a piece around it and you know about it more than I do.
Writing a story on the historical remnants of that shoe. I think that one is great. It's a good hump day shoe for you, Brendan, as you wore them riding a camel.
Oh, okay. I was like, hold on. Nice. Someone has to say it. I was going to say, wait a minute. What are we doing here? You know the kid with the face who's like straining because he wants to say, okay. I was going to say, we're you definitely putting that in if it makes
on
a social
the IG
asset.
Photo, go look at my IG page.
Yeah. So this shoe originally dropped 10 years ago. It was $250 when it came out. It was taken from, oh my God, now you're putting me on the spot to remember. It was taken from the high-end running shoe at the time.
The original 2002R?
No.
Or was it just the 2002 then?
There was a shoe called I'm probably going to mess up the year, but I would think it was the 1906, which was a high-end running shoe. And that was a performance model. And they took the sole from that and built this upper for the 2002 and mashed the two together. They found out that in 2020, it was too hard to produce that midsole because they don't have it in the line anymore. So they took...
This is like 22 twos.
Yeah. So they took the midsole from the 860 V2, a shoe that retroed a few years ago or last year with a collaboration with Dime, and put that midsole on this old upper. So
see, I love all that history, but this was one of those shoes where I was like, I am so sick of analyzing and, like I said, intellectualizing and breaking down all the design details of a sneaker in this year, which I've been forced to do so much, and I do enjoy doing it, but this was a shoe where I was just like, no history. I just like the way the sneaker looks. I'm going to put it on my feet. I'm going to wear it a bunch.
Awesome.
And I'm going to ride a camel.
And really good history lesson, Welty.
I don't like pre-yellowed shoes, but I like the pre-yellowing on that shoe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welty, what's your number five sneaker of the year since we are ranking them?
I was fighting with myself to what to put on the shoes.
Shadowboxing?
Yeah. I was shadowboxing myself. Damn, these... Damn, my brain got hands, right? trying to fight these thoughts. But I feel like my sneaker consumption, as all of ours, has changed a lot in over the past 12 months for multitude of reasons. And the stuff that we've actually worn has been a lot different. So if I was going to tell myself what my top five favorite shoes would have been if this was a normal year, would have been a totally different list. So, but considering that there were a few months that were normal during 2020, I wanted to do a this is how it started in the versus this is how it's going. One shoe that I got excited about.
A live action meme here?
Yeah. One shoe that I got excited about earlier in the year, which is something that is a shoe that you would expect me to put on this list, is the Adidas Lotherton Spezial. I bought these off. These sold out real quick for a Spezial release. I usually wear these shoes going to the football match with my friends. I didn't. I got a chance to go to one this year. Went to one match just because of everything. So these, I think I wore these once since then to go to a dinner. But, you know, flat suede shoes, big fan of them, but haven't really felt like the move to wear this year just because, you know, I'm not going to run to the grocery store in like a flat suede shoe that's going to get messed up. It's not
as you're not able to do the things that you usually do in those sneakers.
Yes. So I love this shoe. It's my favorite of these sort of shoes this year that I own. But with that said, this is not my mood in 2020, but it still makes the list.
Okay, but you'll always have a love for it, and your name is your name, and people always associate you with this. That's what they come to him for, exactly. Yeah. So, all right. My number four, not surprising to anyone.
Pull it out, Joe.
It dropped basically a year ago in 2020. Black Cat Jordan 4.
Black Cat Jordan 4. Where are the white laces, Joe?
I switched, so I did do the white lace swap.
This is during the Joe LaPuma shoe.
During the year 2020, then I put them back. But I remember, I don't know, for some reason, when we were signing the books, I wrote on the shoe Endless Summer because it felt like the summer just lasted forever. It was like every day was rolling into one another. And when we had the books, I was looking down. I was like, even in the winter, the winter of 2020 just felt like the same day over and over.
Yeah.
So I took the silver Sharpie of the signed books that we did. And I put Endless Summer on. I wrote on the
Your Virgil Abloh on?
Yeah, a little bit. The right side of the shoe. So the Jordan 4 Black Cat will always be one of my favorites.
How many pairs of these did you get when they retroed?
I have four pair.
Four of the new pair. And how many of the old pair?
The old pair, the original one, I have one pair. I still have it. I used to play softball in it when it got beat.
You used to do everything in them.
Yeah, I played softball in it. I was in a softball league one year, and I would, for some reason, I played in the Black Cat 4, and the mud is still like caked on, but they're still in my room at my parents' house right next to the fake Tiffany dunks, which, you know, we always say that was. Yeah, I didn't burn them yet, even though I got the real ones now, but still.
It doesn't match your love, though, for the Oreo 4s when those
were released. I think 10 pairs I bought of the Oreo 4s.
Well, how many have you gone through?
I have four in boxes still. And when I say in boxes, in the cardboard box over the regular box.
Didn't even open the shipping box.
To be honest, I called in. I did like a bulk order from Finish Line. And it's not like they sold out. No discount. Like, I was just like, hey, give me whatever.
Like, I'm taking stock.
Yeah, and I haven't worn the Oreo 4s in so long. But let me ask you guys, is it crazy to put the Black Cats for me almost in front of the Bread 4s?
I love those. We're talking pure personal preference.
This is Joe LaPuma. This is peak Joe LaPuma. This is like, this reminds me of like we're joking about like old Joe LaPuma when there was a shoe that you really, really loved, which where it was like, it was a decent shoe, but it really wasn't like a top five shoe of the year, but you loved it so much that you'd ride so hard for it. The Black Cat 4. No, for sure.
Four of the 12 episodes of sneaker shopping, I wore them. It is the testament of, listen, we could own a lot of sneakers and we could get new sneakers all the time.
But and we do that too.
We do that too, but you're just comfortable. It's like a uniform sometimes. And,
feel at home.
And go ahead, Walty.
No, the moment that made me realize that, like, because Joe hates like white Jordans for the most part, and it's something that I never really even thought that people hated white Jordans until I met Joe LaPuma, and we've been laughing about it because there's a list we put out in 2013, which may have not been the best sneaker of the year list, but I remember I had to print out like 100 different sneakers, and we're going on pamphlets and we're going through our piece of paper and we're going through all of them, and I pick up the Great Five, and I'm like, Joe, does this shoe make the list? And you're like, no fucking way, bud. And I was like, Great Fives don't make the list. And it's classic. Like, just because you hated white Jordans so much that like Great Five was like a whack shoe to you. And I'd never met anyone to this point.
Which is silly, 7 years ago. And to be honest, it's funny you say that. There's a person in my hometown, right? He's a little older than me. And, you know, you guys go to the bar. Well, we used to go to the bars when we were home for Thanksgiving or Christmas, yeah, or sometimes in the summer. And, of course, like, they know that we do sneakers. And people have people love to come up to you and be like, oh, I remember. And it's like a shoe, like, oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, I remember, yeah, that. The Jordan 2 was the best. But this one guy is like, you know what I've been searching for? And it's like, he's older than me, has a very, like, good job. And it's like, the Great Fives. I really need the Great Fives. And it's like,
hey, and you, man, looked in Dennis' eyes and you said, yeah, those are whack.
Well, no, it's a classic shoe. But like in 2013, it's probably immaturity. I was like, oh, no, these were whack. But I know that it's like such an iconic sneaker now.
But I can never picture you wearing that shoe. Ever.
No, I can never wear it. But the guy is always like, man, if I could only get Great Fives. And I was like, dude, StockX and exist. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not that hard.
Yeah, you could get them. But it is one of those shoes that stands out. But yeah, these Black Hat 4s, I could go on forever. And people are probably sick of me talking about them. But yeah, January 22nd, 2020, they dropped. It's in 2020. Definitely, if
I think the exact day.
Yeah, I think Clark always says, if the Black Cement 3s drop every year, they're in the sneaker of the year every year. And that's kind of how I feel about these Black Cat 4s. Don, what do you got?
All right, now I will talk about, I think, the shoe Welty was alluding to earlier.
Okay.
Sorry, a sneaker that I am so shocked that my coworkers didn't appreciate more, Nike Air Zoom Alpha Fly Next Percent.
I like it.
I really believe in pushing modern sneakers and rewarding brands for coming up with innovative technology, shoes that look good and shoes that do things for us and shoes that push what we think of as the role of the sneaker. This sneaker challenged what a runner was allowed to have on their feet. It looked like this shoe was about to be banned ahead of the Olympics. It wasn't banned. Eliud Kipchoge ran the fastest marathon ever. Not a world record because there were circumstances around it engineered so perfectly that it broke the rules to be considered for the record books. But this is like an important shoe. And I'm biased, and we're talking about our personal favorites here, so it's fair. But I'm biased toward this shoe because I like running shoes and I like this kind of Nike tech story and things like that. But I just think it's such a good shoe. Again, a performance model, a new model, but we had such an argument in our top 10 sneakers of the year list because none of my coworkers were interested in putting it any higher than 10. And I felt like I was fucking insane because this is such an important shoe, even beyond the world of sneaker heads and, you know, limited hype stuff. This is an actual important shoe.
Yeah. And those move quickly though. You can't find them because with that shoe, whenever someone says, what sneaker, men or women, do you recommend? I try to find that shoe. It's still very tough to find. They move quickly.
And I'm not showing them here on screen, but I do have them in back of me. It's just some of these are harder for me to dig out. But again, we own all these shoes that we're talking about.
Clarification, you were part of like kind of a wear testing program with that model as well, right?
No.
The Bridge Runners Club. You brought it back.
Hold on.
I thought you were part of the whole like Media Miles program that you had.
I mean, maybe that deserves an asterisk. So I do receive a lot of free Nike running product, and I did get these for free. I mean, I got a lot of the shoes I'm talking about here for free. Yeah. If we're being totally honest, but like I think I am brainwashed more than most people in terms of believing the interesting stuff Nike has going on, especially with respect to running shoes. And yeah, I did partake in a lot of Nike Run Club events and things like that. So I know what you mean in that respect.
That's all I meant. I wasn't trying to call you out on it because I know do get free shoes, but I'm just saying you have a little bit closer of an attachment to that shoe.
Totally. And even like the shoes these are related to, you know, the first Zoom Vaporfly Elite, like Nike flew me to Italy and I watched the first breaking to attempt. So that stuff's important to mention for sure. But I still think beyond, and again, we're talking about our personal favorites, so I'm happy to say.
And also, since when does sentimental need an asterisk? No asterisk. He feels I didn't, away.
No, no,
he
it's just good background. Memories. It's good background to mention.
I didn't mean sentimental. I didn't. That's not where I was going.
Okay.
Either way.
Let's go, baby.
So, either way, I'm happy to have it on here. I like it, and I can't believe my coworkers do not believe more in modern sneakers. Wealthy, please take it away. Your number four shoe.
I do. I just thought it fit a little weird in with the list of where we were going to rank it. If we were going to put it on the list, I was like, maybe we just put it at number 10.
Our top 10 sneakers of the year list.
It doesn't really fit the same merits that we're arguing the other shoes based off of, so it was weird to rank it over like a retro.
But baby, it belongs here, and nobody can tell me otherwise.
Yeah, those debates are brutal. There's no even room for debate. Nah.
It gets personal.
I try to keep it simple.
Yeah, it does get personal.
Wealthy, what's your number four sneaker of the year?
It's also personal favorite. How it started versus how it's going. I also do have a new sneaker on here, and I do have a shoe from Nike on the list.
Whoa.
Love that.
This is the one that I knew was going to throw everyone for a loop. And it's a sneaker that I bought right when it dropped. And I'm very excited.
I know what it is. I know what it is. I love this for you.
So how it started versus how it's going. I haven't actually had a chance to wear these ones a bunch just because of like gyms being closed and everything. Okay. But,
I think I know this one.
So is this one was kind of crazy to me. And I would have pictured myself getting this shoe. But
yes.
it's the Nike.
They're awesome.
What the Metcon 6? It's actually all the Metcon shoes.
Into full
shoes.
Workout mode. I love this. Yeah,
those are awesome, Welty.
Yeah, they have a crazy smell to this translucent sole on them. But you know,
Did you wear those already?
I've worn them once, but you know, I've been doing a lot more running shoes just because I haven't been able to be in situations where I'm doing like you know sort of cross training. But or I'll just go barefoot in my house. But these, I cannot wait to actually go to a gym and break these out. I've never.
What type of activities? What type of?
We're doing
squats and box jumps and things of that nature.
Box jumps. Hopefully, one day I'll do some handstand walks. I don't know.
Okay.
Those are awesome. Where do you get a shoe like that? Just Nike.com or what?
These dropped at the launch of the 2020 CrossFit Games. So Nike did a shock drop on them. On Nike.com, they sold out right away. But you know what? I've never owned. This is like a first for me. I've never owned a What the Shoe. I don't really buy Nike performance product for the most part. And you know what? I just thought these were awesome. Our coworkers kind of slandered me and told me that these were whack. In the Slack, but you know, I just honestly never thought it was a shoe that I would pick up. And you know what? I was happy that I took a chance to buy something new and I was happy with what I got. So
you said they sold out immediately. Did you buy them on StockX or you got them right?
I ended up. Okay. They don't sell out as fast as kind of like a limited drop would, you know, like a retro shoe, but they were gone probably within an hour. You know,
I have a question. Those selling out, who's buying those? Whose radar is that on?
People who are probably into CrossFit.
Yeah, it seems like it. And I love that it's a shoe that people are hopefully buying for its actual purpose. Mm-hmm. Performance product, baby.
Yep.
Those are really good, Wealthy. I like that choice.
Joe, where are we at? Number three?
Number three. We talk about the Slack, a lot of differing opinions. We talk about the back and forth.
Oh, my God.
But sometimes... Our colleagues are there for support. Our colleagues lend a helping hand. Our colleagues are there to tip us off when a shoe that you should not sleep on.
Oh, I know what this is.
A shoe that you should not sleep on becomes available. And it's not as hyped as the collaborations that we see that everyone talks about.
No, but sir.
Pound for pound.
Something special.
It is the best silhouette and the best model of a popular shoe to drop. And we are... talking about my number three shoe, the Riley Jones 992.
Yes,
officially
sir.
Dubbed. Look at this purple 992. I got the Packer ones. I didn't get the Jound. There was a bunch of 992s this year, in 2020, I should say, last year.
You got the Navy ones as well?
I got the Navy
Jack
ones.
Harlow episode?
Yeah, the GRs I got from Kith. This purple, though, I got two pairs. I got a pair from my sister. This... You know, and we're talking about our list like this is our personal choice.
It is, right?
Yeah.
1,000%.
Are you going to say it's fate?
No. I feel like in 3 years, 4 years, I will look back at number three and not feel any
That shoe will age well. That shoe will age
exactly.
well.
I will not feel any doubt. Like, what was I thinking?
Listen, like a fine wine, like yeah, listen, that great purple suede on
exactly.
there.
A little, oh, someone said the Merlots the other day, but
a full bodied red, just like Rich Ancinello likes to crack open on the South Fork.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite part about it was, is that there was some sort of confusion on what the shade of that shoe actually yes. was. I remember people had mentioned maybe it's a maroonish color. Maybe it's a purple. Weren't quite sure because, as the joke's going around, people put the Kith filter on, you know, some of these shoes, and you can't tell what they really are.
I'm sitting this one out. I'm colorblind.
Totally. Obviously, keep going.
But Joe responds.
Yes,
they're
yes.
very purple and they're amazing.
No, they're very purple and they're very beautiful.
Oh yeah, that was the quote. Yes.
And listen, like I was going to say, sometimes we look back at these lists and we're like, what were we thinking? Listen, the ACG at number five, it's a good shoe. In 3 years, my top five shoe of the year, we'll see.
Maybe reconsidering.
Yeah, maybe reconsider. This at three, though, I think I'm going to stand by this. I no love regrets. This shoe.
You know what
yeah,
shoes no I think we end up regretting are shoes that are newer mashup models that tend to be a of-the-moment shoe
yeah.
that kind of only exists yes. within that six-month pocket. I think one of those shoes that may make top 10 lists that we're going to look back on in 5 years and say, oh my God, I'll never wear that shoe again, is the New Balance 327. So I think if you had that shoe, it was a big model this year,
it's tough,
but I do,
man.
Yeah.
I just think in a few years, like you say, you look back and you're going to be like, yes. oh wow. Like we're probably not going to want that shoe in 3 years. Same as the way as none of us would wear an NMD now, but there was a time when all would have worn an NMD and yep. we all would have put the NMD in our top five maybe of the year. So it's just a tough place to kind of sort those shoes out.
And that's a really good point, Welty, because someone for Christmas, they were trying to recommend a shoe for their wife. And yeah. I was like, I think the New Balance 327, I was like, oh, they said $75 to like $100, I think.
Yeah.
And I recommended the New Balance 327. And I think it is a great new silhouette, but it started off with the bang and it kind of like petered out a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I want to talk about my number three here. This is a predictable one for me. It is a pair of Reeboks. It's another shoe that I have in this wall in back of me, but I'm not going to dig out right now because things will fall down. But it's the Laan Reebok Classic yes. Leather, a sneaker based on the movie from 1995, a classic of French cinema, just a classic, just a masterpiece. Go watch it if you haven't. This is another one of those shoes that I wrote a long piece and made Welty edit through it.
it's like a 20,000 word piece. Not really, but kind of.
You know what? It's very, most of the shoes on this list are ones where I actually talk to the people who designed them or talk to the people yes. who made them happen. And it's very, I think, emblematic of what I love about sneakers is when I know the background on them or when I know the inspiration mm-hmm. behind them. I talked to the director, Matthew Kassovitz. I talked to the costume designer who worked with Reebok in 1995 to get the shoes for the movie originally, because in the original movie, which is what these shoes are based on, the people were all wearing, the three main characters were all wearing Reeboks. It's a real regional exclusive, something exclusively for France. You can't get it anywhere else, only available at Courier, which is like their version of Foot Locker, basically. I mean, I have a few different pairs. Yeah, exactly. Courier's had some crazy, you know, exclusives over the years, Air Force Ones, those denim Air Max 90s, things like that. I actually think Laan, the movie, they did a few too many collaborations this year. They also did a Carhartt thing toward the end of the year. But I really love these Reeboks, and just the conversations that I had with people about these shoes were so special to me. I mean, if you go back and read the piece, please do, because not a lot of people did, which is what happens when I when I write 4,000 words on a really niche product like this. But this philosophy that the director has about footwear, and just that the way these things were made cool was by people other than the brands making them cool. And it was just a viewpoint that I think is lost on a lot of people. And, you know, I had a conversation with somebody at Nike earlier this year about, oh, how can Nike protect sneaker culture or be a steward of sneaker culture? And I think people kind of are too used to, at this point, brands feeding them quote unquote culture around their shoes. Mm-hmm. And they need to be more active in creating it, or they need to remember that the people who made sneakers cool were not the brands, but the consumers who used them in their own way, or who used them in a subculture or made them part of their identity. So, you know, as you could see, I have many thoughts about this shoe, and there's many more of them to read in the piece, but I love this. It's a Reebok. The black pair, the white pair, you know,
black lots, lots of stuff to love shoe. About these. It's a tough looking shoe too.
And it's, they didn't change too much. They just put the Le'en in the window and a little bit of text on the back. And it was a charity thing too, to raise some money for the Ben Lu in French. So it's, yeah, it's very good. I love
little,
these.
Little known story. I had a French teacher in high school. I took French. That was, you know, people, you had to take a language. High school, I took French. She legally changed her name to Miss French. She loved French so much, the passion, she changed her name to Miss French. So, yep.
I love the passion. Welty, what's your number three sneaker? What are you passionate about?
So number three, I don't want to cop out on this one, but it is, it's a kind of a game time decision. And I kind of want to say that I split it between two shoes because I wanted all the shoes to be here. There's one shoe that I know that I do have, but it's at the office and I have not been to the office.
Because we have the rule of we have to own all these shoes.
Yeah, so I know I have it. So the shoe that I wanted to put in this spot, but I don't physically own it and haven't interacted with it, is the green Bape Undefeated ZX8000s. It's a shoe that maybe in 2021 it will make my makeup list, but that's my third personal favorite
this year.
Yeah, I always wanted the other green Bape Undefeated ZX joints from years ago, which were super hard. But these ones actually came like 2 weeks ago. I want to give a shout out to my main man, Thomas Lindy from Hannon. This is one of the most excited I've been getting a package of shoes. People know I love suede Adidas, but these are running ZX models. There's actually two colorways. So it's the ZX 420s. I know when I saw these.
So wait, you have two here and the Bape. So you just added like two shoes, extra shoes to your list
to
overall.
Me, no, but to me,
all right,
to
we turned into top eight.
to me, these are one and the same. It's they came in a pack together. They actually came in the same box, so I didn't want to pick one over the other. But this pack, the ZX 420 from Hannon, Thomas. I don't know if you guys know him. He's a listener of this, but he runs with Rob. He runs the New Balance Gallery IG account. Also takes beautiful photos for Hannon in Aberdeen, Scotland. Good friends over there. They brought me out to London for a pop-up space that they had done for the Adidas London.
That was last year?
Yeah. This shoe right here in 2019. Yes. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I really love the most is that I know we get free shoes and a lot of people want to say things about us getting free shoes, but there's certain free shoes.
You were saying stuff about me getting free shoes. What do you mean, other
people? He also attacked you for not ranking the shoes and then decided to do a top eight. But okay.
All right. Oh, this can't be live.
So wait, no, finish though. A lot of people say about free shoes.
No.
Go ahead.
No. I thought, never mind. Anyways.
No. Go.
So the thing about it is that not that we're ungrateful for shoes, but sometimes random shoes just kind of show up and brands are using us as kind of a platform in hopes that they will post it on our Instagram or try to curry favor and try to get us to post it on Complex when it's shoes that we don't really have any sort of attachment to. We don't really care about, you know, not to say that we shouldn't feel some sort of way about getting free sneakers, but it feels like the brands are trying to leverage us more than, you know, having actual connections, you know, with products that we care about. But I feel like it's a lot cooler when you get a package from a friend who works at a retailer, who works at a brand, who personally worked on a project. And it's not something that gets seeded to every other person in sneaker media. And they send you the package because they know you actually are going to care about this product and know that they worked on it. And when you get it, you can appreciate it in a different way. And to me, those shoes are kind of like the pinnacle of that.
Well said. We're on my number two shoe, right?
Tell us.
My number two shoe of the year. Sometimes, let's preface it. Sometimes we see a sneaker and we hit up a bunch of people to secure a pair.
You were begging for these?
I wasn't begging for them, but I definitely put feelers out. There's always a chance before the information comes out, how limited are they going to be? And when you see a shoe and you really, really like it, you start hitting up a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
This shoe, I did that. And I kind of overshot. I think we should just cut it. I think we should cut it.
No, we're not cutting it. How many boxes of these do you have?
Five.
What is the shoe?
five pairs I ended up with, which I bought them. I bought them all.
What is the shoe, John?
It's the Union Jordan 4.
Black. Your number two of the year.
Is my number two shoe of the year. Now, wore it a lot. Sentimental. Wore for the Kamala Harris episode. Wore for the Hasan Minhaj episode. Funny story about the Union Jordan 4. On the sneaker shopping episode with Hasan, he buys the Union 4 on the episode. An hour later, we're in L.A. I go to John Elliott. I see him in the store, and he's wearing the shoes he just bought on sneaker shopping, the Union 4s. But this shoe...
Great shoe. And a shoe that was hated on by a lot of people.
Hated on. Still hated on to this day. I think it's a little more quiet. It grew on people. But when it first leaked, man, did it get destroyed. And I really loved it from the beginning. I haven't cut any of the tongues. I've only gone through one pair. I'm just wearing one pair.
You got to cut the tongue, man.
You think so?
But Chris, I mean, you certainly have enough pairs to where you can afford to experiment a little bit.
I know. Chris Gibbs on this podcast, though, said he didn't, you know, hold on. He compromised.
Joe is swimming in Union Jordan 4s. They're falling all over his apartment as he speaks.
It's actually embarrassing. So Chris Gibbs, after he did the podcast, he was like, I think the quote was, I'm going to fuck that tongue up. Didn't he say that or something like that? I'm going to fuck with that tongue. And it seems like he told us that Jordan kind of made him do both options. Yeah. But I've been wearing it as intended, as the designer, Chris Gibbs, intended. But listen, the Black Cat 4 is on my list. Everyone knows I love Jordan 4s. As soon as I saw this photo, even when it leaked, early leaks, I liked it. And then just as sneaker history goes, as the sneaker blogosphere goes, the first photo leaks, these are bad. Second one, maybe they're not that bad. Third, then you see the lookbook with the apparel, and all of a sudden people are really warming up to it. But Jordan 4 Union, number two on my list. We had Fat Joe on the Complex Land panel of the year, and he didn't put it on his list, and so it was a funny moment. Yeah, funny moment. He said that.
He
regretted it. So not much more to say about it. Listen, I'm happy.
That's a shoe I would have put on my list too. That's the one. That's like the one Jordan.
But you didn't get
it.
Joe took all the pairs.
Yeah, Joe took all the pairs.
No, but he wanted the guavas. I want the guavas. These are black. I have one pair of guava and the other pair.
And I just don't want to pay. I don't want to pay like $1,100 for the shoe. So it's at this point, you know, I don't think it's going to happen. If it happens someday, maybe it happens, but it's in God's hands at this point.
All right. I want to talk about my number two pair, and this takes us back to where we were a while ago. You know the shoe I was buying. This is not a stunt. This was real life. I had to buy the shoe right when it dropped because we were recording the podcast as it dropped. The new colorway that dropped while we were recording that I just bought is the Iraq X Adidas ZX 8000, the icy white reflective pair, 3M Scotch Guard, fully flashy. My favorite pair, I already have the two previous colorways. My favorite is the black Iraq X Adidas ZX 8000. That's my number two sneaker of the year. I'm glad to have completed the set just now live with you guys. This is another one of those shoes that I just appreciated so much more after having a conversation with the person who created them. So I talked to Kunle Martins, founder of the Graffiti Crew Iraq, you know, a person who's been in the industry, been around sneakers for a long time. He used to work at A-Life. I think it was in the Graph Doc Infamy where there's scenes of him where he's like wearing Air Max 97s and taking a phone order for some cool gray Jordan 4s or something like that. And that was one of those images that has stuck in my mind. And I think the shoe was a cool reminder of the heyday of A-Life and things like that. And, you know, I just, again, talking to people who made the shoes made me appreciate them so much more. And this is a sneaker that I've worn a ton. Let me grab them, actually.
It's a beautiful sneaker.
Yeah.
You know, I always wanted the old pairs. Like, this is a sequel. So people who don't know, Iraq and Adidas did two pairs from 2007 and 2008, which had a very similar colorway, very similar branding. It's very much just a sequel of that. But yes, so happy to have these. Happy to have all three pairs now. And I don't really wear Adidas that much. This was supposed to be a big year for the Adidas ZX series, a big year for Wealthy, a big year for me, a big year for the Adidas ZX 8000. Maybe some of those things will come to fruition in the future. Who knows? But I do still think that the Adidas ZX A to Z series got some good ones out, and this was the best one. And like I said, this is a shoe that I've worn a lot since I got it. There's Gore-Tex paneling on it. It's such a graph guy shoe. I'm not a graph guy, but I appreciate all that, and I just love this shoe. So if you see me, chances are I'm probably wearing this out and about.
You know what's crazy is that we actually did like a sponsored Adidas video with Joe at the top of 2020.
Yeah. Wait, was that 2020?
That was 2020.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I remember because I was wearing like Aqua Adidas ZX8000s.
Yep. That was forever ago.
Don't ever let anybody tell you I don't love the ZX8000.
Yeah, but that was a good sponsorship for all of us, yes. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a great. Was good. Yeah. It was a Simpler really good times. Bag and organic. And yeah, man, that seems like 10 years ago.
Welty, what's your number two sneaker of the year?
Number two sneaker, really unexpected. Maybe
he's got all the curveballs.
Maybe I put this one on the list because I did get a pair, and maybe it's not a shoe that I would have went out and dropped my own money on because I do have an older retro of it, but the newer retro happened to fall into my lap.
I know what we're talking about.
And this shoe, if you want to talk about doing a retro right and just being so fucking good. And putting the shoes on your feet and feeling that magic once again and remembering why you love the shoe from the start, this is the one. And it is, maybe you can guess, it is the Infrared Air Max 90.
Yes, he's a Nike boy. Checks over stripes. Look at him.
It does
not. Two out of four so far, Nike.
It does not get, Joe, it does not. I know the shoe is mostly white, but it does not. Get much better than
look at the infrared. Hang tag.
Does it get much better? The shape on this shoe,
beautiful shoe.
You know the tongue, even like the.
I know we all have memories.
Branding on it, just everything about this. Shout out to Mischka at 43 Ein Hob in Germany who ended up sending this pair. I think they painted a Mercedes from 1990, the colorway of the Infrared 92, which is crazy, but. This shoe, this really makes me remember why I love sneakers. Putting this on, Nike did an amazing job re-releasing this. It also came with like the old school box, which to me just like made it awesome. So maybe a bit of a curveball right here, but
I love it.
I love this sneaker.
We need you to get, you know, the Kanye fit that I got, the portrait. Remember when he's wearing some obscure blue ones? The laser blues,
yeah.
Maybe you throw on the paper denim cloth jeans and you put the tongue, you know, let's say it. What in secession?
Tongue fuck them.
Yeah, you tongue fuck them. And maybe, but beautiful shoe. Look at, have you worn them? You haven't worn them yet.
I wore them once. I did wear them once. But this shoe, I remember wearing this with a camo 5-panel hat, a gray and burgundy Ralph Lauren crew neck sweatshirt, pair of raw denim jeans. This was the fit back then.
Talk that talk.
All right. Wow. Joe.
Always a special sneaker.
Okay, so the suspense is not going to be that much for this one, unfortunately, because...
Dior Jordan 1s?
Not Dior Jordan 1s, but we should talk about that after. But my number one shoe of the year, 2020. It is also the number one shoe in the Complex Sneaker of the Year book. Not a spoiler? No, not at this point. We moved enough units. Off-White Jordan 5. Let's take it back to the studio. Let's take it back when we were in studio. All-Star Weekend, I was in Chicago. I shot Carmelo Anthony for sneaker shopping All-Star Weekend. I was there for one day. I was very sick. Didn't have the antibodies. Maybe the accuracy was off, but I was very sick, by the way, in Chicago.
Okay.
I thought that day I was going to get the Jordan. It was the same release. It was the day that these were coming out.
Off-White Jordan 5s. You couldn't get the Off-White Jordan 5s like couldn't barely them, anywhere man. Except in Chicago and on the sneakers app.
Could not get
very
them.
Hard to get.
They offered me the red Jordan 3s.
Which Fat Joe said like top 10.
Yeah, Fat Joe bought like 10 pairs of them. But I said, I think I might have gave them to Dave Matthews. Was Dave Matthews in Chicago with me? I'm not sure. Maybe Alejandro. I don't know. Our other producer. But... Chicago Off-White 5. Yes, Dave, I gave them to you, right? Then they got stolen. Okay, well, all right.
you didn't give them Off-White Jordan 5s. You gave them the Chicago
Jordan 3s with the red leather. Dave Matthews, our producer, also done.
Intern?
Yes, super intern. No. Dave Matthews, I gave him the Jordan 3, the red Jordan 3s, and they got stolen in Chicago. But I woke up that morning, and I think I was like, I packed the Laser 4s, and I packed the Laser 4s because I love the Laser 4s. Also, Welty, did you sell those yet?
No, they're still here.
Okay, well, we'll still talk about it. But I packed the Laser 4s. I love the Laser 4s, but I think I packed them with the assumption that, oh, well, I'm going to wear the off-white 5s.
You knew for sure somebody was coming through for you. You knew some Jordan Brand employee was going to hook up Joe LaPuma, of all people.
Yeah, or I would have got a chance to buy them, and I didn't get them. And then I remember I got back. We were in the studio.
I remember.
And I think from Complex, what I pay, guys, $1,100 for them.
You paid a lot. StockX. Just like a normal guy.
I paid $1,100, and then they were dropping. And then, listen, yeah, I kind of got burnt on them. But
but you're happy to have them, and you've worn them, and you love them.
Yes.
I'm really surprised that now looking at your top five, I understand why this is Joe LaPuma's favorite sneaker of the year, and I'm not hating on it at all. I think this shoe is actually really good. I'm surprised that somehow Chunky Dunkies did not make your top five. No.
Yeah, what's up with that? All,
okay, Joe. So I told – I actually –
because we know you have them.
I actually –
we know you did get those for free.
I actually – no, we didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't get those for free.
Okay, listen, just though, checking.
I texted Dunn about this. This is my personal wearing almost – not wearing, but like my personal top five.
Yeah.
I think on impact – the Chunky Dunkies are definitely top two of the year for the sneaker space in the year for the sneaker space as a whole. But my personal list, they don't make it just because I haven't worn them and I don't.
You didn't wear Chunky Dunkies at all.
No, I haven't worn them yet, and it's going to be tough for me to wear them. Honestly, now
if you were to
I am
put five shoes by the door and only five shoes for 2020. That shoe's not getting put by the door.
No, and to be honest, every single one besides the off-white five, just because I wore them once or twice, four of my five are probably by the door. Which
love that.
I
same,
think,
same.
Yeah, which I think that the listeners should understand. So that's why the Chunky Dunky isn't in my personal top five. Now, when we put the edit list together or I do the Complex Land panel, I think it should be top,
no, for
top
sure.
three.
Yeah. I just thought that impact, you personally liked that shoe that much. I wasn't sure.
I am happy to own it. I think it is, for what it is, I think it's an awesome, awesome sneaker. I think they did a great job on it. I think it's going to be one of the ones that we remember years and years to come. Even, to be honest, maybe even more than the Off-White 5, just because it's such a out-of-the-box design. But personal top five, five shoes by the door. Chunky Dunky's not in the top five for me. But I do recognize its greatness, so...
I love that we mentioned that these are sneakers that are by the door because, Joe, I am right there with you. And the Off-White Jordan 5, my favorite sneaker of the year as well, the black pair, also a sneaker I keep by the door, a sneaker I wear regularly. This is definitely the sneaker I've written about the most this year. I did a whole chapter on it for the Complex Sneaker of the Year book. I talked to a few people who worked on the shoes for that, Israel Mateo, a longtime Nike guy who works on Jordan product out in Beaverton now, Jima Wong, Paul Savavici, who was kind of the go-to designer at Jordan for a minute, projects like Off-White and Travis Scott, collabs like that. I just think Virgil had done so much up to that point that the formula for his Nike stuff was a little stale or a little too familiar. And then he just comes back with this retro future thing, the intentional yellowing where it looks like it's from 1990, but it also looks like it's from 2090, no Air Max. The holes on the side is kind of this metaphorical thing about the air that's actually in the sneaker. It's really, it's postmodern sneaker design, and it's not on a home run model either. You know, when he did the Jordan 1, obviously that had to be huge because of what the Jordan 1 meant culturally. To me, the Air Jordan 5 is a little bit slept on right now, so this wasn't a guaranteed thing. And this is another one of those shoes that I think when people first saw them, and Virgil himself alluded to this, they were a little bit unsure and they thought he had a miss. And he even tweeted about that when the shoes finally came out. But I've loved this shoe since I first saw it. I've loved wearing the sneaker. I'm so happy to have a pair. White laces, that's a must.
I saw the white laces. Yeah, see, I had the gray in. You had the white laces, which laid perfectly on the Persian rug. I remember that IG.
You saw that. Come on, that influenced a few people. And you know what? I do feel a little bit guilty because we've talked so much in here about how these are not necessarily what we think are the biggest shoes of the year, and these are our personal favorites. But then we get to our number one, Joe and me, and we both have the same shoe that is number one on the overall list. But I do think it belongs there because I do think it is a smart, modern sneaker that still pulls on the rich history of Jordan Brand. By the way, the black pair is way better than the yellow pair. The yellow pair looks a little
not
too pissy
even close,
with
guys.
Sorry,
not
it's
close.
A white pair, but it's a little yellow. You know what I mean?
The
black
close.
Pair is the one. This is my sneaker of the year. I have it. I'm happy to have it. I'm happy to wear it frequently. I think we should do that with the shoes that we love. I've said all I need to say about this shoe in so many forms. Please go read the chapter in the book and the blurb on the best sneakers of the year. Welty, please tell us, what is your sneaker of the year?
My sneaker of the year,
I don't even know,
is
this
is something
I'm not sure
that
it is either.
Yeah, this one, you know what? I had to think about.
This is one you own?
One I own. Okay. Things I actually,
because we both wanted to do the foam runners, but neither of us own those. I'm sorry for interrupting. Sorry. Go.
Oh,
go. Oh
man,
go.
I hope it's not that.
No, I don't. No, I don't own the shoe. I don't own the shoe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had to think about stuff that I actually wore. Things in the vein of stuff that I actually wore. Things that are actual like pandemic sneakers. Something that I own, because a lot of the shoes that I ended up wearing this year weren't from 2020. A lot of my shoes that I wore this year were from last year. But one of the shoes that I did wear this year is a model that Brendan also spoke about, but not the same version. It is the New Balance 2002 R Invincible collaboration.
Wow, this is your sneaker of the year.
Okay, look at that.
My personal favorite. These are fucking awesome. Shout out to Michael Vincent, a friend of the program. These are just gray 2002s. They have a bit of a hairy suede on the heel, and they kind of have this whole mismatched tongue. One's blank, one's not. They also have the branding on the toe, which I thought was just, it's just those little details. And they also have Invincible in North Hollywood, the fashion brand that did a collaboration with on these, on the laces. I just think that these were like, they're super simple. They are like the New Balance sneakers that you wear to the store every single day, but they felt a little more special. So I wanted to, this is my version of getting dressed up in sweatpants, is putting on these sneakers.
A gray suede New Balance just always looks good.
So good.
Yes. I was really thinking about it. I'm like, which model is it? Is it this? Is it that? I'm like, to me, this is 2020 in a nutshell. This is the day where you actually, you know, gel the hair and put it together a little
bit
more. Put it together a little bit more. Yeah. So, as we already spoke about this, I just think it's a great shoe. And Brendan, I think you can also agree, it's very comfortable.
Yeah, feels good on your feet. That's important.
Yeah. New Balance sneakers are always comfortable, but this one is, it's not as clunky on your feet as some of the other models are. So yeah, I like it a lot.
Love it. Good, good picks. One thing before we go, what shoe are people going to comment that didn't make any of our lists? What is it going to be?
Dior ones.
Yeah, Dior ones. That Dior ones. And you guys, listen, I know I kind of back the bus up on Complex Land, you know, but real quick, put a pin in the Dior ones. Can you guys summarize it for me why you guys think it's not top five of the year? And we put it at seven, but I think, can you put a pin on it? I would want to hear it from you guys. And I think,
no, you got to hear it from my coworkers, because I was arguing against it, and we actually bumped it up to be a top five shoe at the end of the year list, much to my disagreement. I mean, ask Ben Feldstein, ask Zach
loves it, huh?
I mean, J Balvin, this is the thing that he said I was acting like a grandpa about. Okay. I just think that this shoe is, it's great for some people, and some people the shoe doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying it's a bad sneaker, but the Dior Jordan 1 is the ultimate celebrity flex, I'm rich.
Footwear for shoe. The 1%.
Yeah. You know, and that's fine. A lot of these shoes we talk that about are limited, but they feel a little more like they were created for just an average person, that they could wear them if they were able to get their hands on them.
The Dior more Jordan accessible, 1, which is what a sneaker is partly but the, about. But it's the accessible Dior Jordan footwear. 1
is like a $10,000 sneaker. Yeah. Any sort of average person isn't actually going to wear that on their feet. It's like a red carpet, Instagram flex. Hey, look, I have the connects to be able to have this shoe, which is fine, but it feels like everyone who's vouching for that shoe to be number one are people who are of that ilk. So it's just like, it's like, you know, we shoot at different baskets. I understand why it's your sneaker of the year. It's just not my sneaker of the year. And I think
that's none of our sneaker of the year.
Me either.
I don't think the average sneaker collector really resonates with that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
True. All right, perfect way to end. And listen, happy new year, guys. I look forward to another 52 weeks, maybe we'll do 48 weeks of the podcast, week in, week out.
A couple weeks off.
Thank you guys so much, the listeners, and we wish you a happy new year. Drop a comment on the podcast, drop a comment, rate, subscribe. We haven't said that in a while, but I think we should start. It's a new year.
We need that.
Yeah, it's a new year. Give us those thumbs up and those five stars. We will be with you guys week in, week out. Thank you so much for listening up until this point. And again, have a safe and happy new year. 2021, we're here.
Oh, yeah.
Our producer is Dave Matthews. Our associate producer is Jasmine Plata. Sound engineering done by Kyle Garvey. Special thanks to Jennifer Stewart and Shiva Bayet. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.